All right, we are recording.
All right, good morning. It is 11 a.m. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Innovation Park PLH Inc. Board meeting. Calling this to order, we don't have any guests. There's nobody that is going to be participating via electronic means. Do we have any modifications to the agenda? Hearing none. Had anybody submitted a public comment?
None were received.
All right. Can I get a motion to approve the draft meeting minutes from October 6th?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Item number 7, the appointments to IPTLH Board of Directors. Bill, I'll let you kick this off.
Okay. In addition to what's written on the agenda item, I would like to have a discussion of revisiting the logic model that we developed vis-a-vis the relationship between LCRDA and the nonprofit that we stood up.
In 2019.
You asked that question the other day.
Okay.
And then got the 501c3 approved in 2021. So if you'll indulge me, I'll go through a few notes here. In our initial assessment of how this would operate, we own the asset of the new lab. We will lease the asset to a nonprofit that we control. The nonprofit will operate the facility, programs, staff, etc. And the premise was that we need a 501c3 for fundraising and an audited 990 for certain large grant opportunities, funders or other sponsorships. And the nonprofit would be needed to optimize that piece. So we'll put together a lease to operate the labs. And that mechanic has been drafted. And included in that would be the rights to sell sponsorships, naming rights, et cetera, et cetera. The sponsorship naming rights, terms and conditions, and legal docs are all needed and approved by the LCRDA Board of Governors as well as the IPTL Board of Governors. Additionally, we solicited and were successful in receiving funding for LCRDA, again, for the labs, build to scale. That funding is for employing the folks needed to, some of the folks needed to operate the labs. And as part of our match, we're using the shared assets between LCRDA and the new labs, and that's in the grant contract. And so as a result, this logic model will require incredibly sophisticated and complex accounting. It's already resulted in an additional required audit for IPTLH, even though there's not much money moving through there. And moving forward, in addition to the mandatory audits for LCRDA, IPTLH, we'll have a mandatory federal audit for the EDA because we exceeded.
We have that anyway.
We have that.
That's an existing thing.
That's right.
Once we borrowed that money from the EDA, that exists.
That's right. And the contractual arrangement is between LCRDA and the EDA. It's unclear to me that the performance of this contract can be delegated or subcontracted to another entity, like IPTLH. The performance period.
Say that again.
It's unclear to me that we can subcontract the performance we're required for 9 years to demonstrate to the EDA to another entity.
We're supposed to do record keeping. The borrower, in this case, the RDA, has got to keep track of revenues, job creation, a bunch of metrics and statistics. Now, he says he's unclear. Let's be honest. We're not clear that we can't.
Right.
That's true.
People change hands. And I want to be very, you know, let's make sure that statement is interpreted the right way.
That. Yep.
That's right.
That's right.
Bill is unclear that we could have an entity that leases from us and uses a lot of our same people as, you know, imagined, if you will, do that. I'm not inclined to agree with that, but there's no clear language that says you are or are not allowed that we found that allowed.
That's exactly right. And Michael and I have had some of this conversation. So we took the first step and crafted a lease, which, with due respect to those that have had input into it, like myself, is in fact a lose-lose contractual arrangement. And without a side MOU that says that LCRDA will pay for everything for a certain point in time, which is still needs to be drafted by the two entities, as an advisor to both groups, I would strongly advise that it's fiscally irresponsible for either entity to enter into this lease, because the lessee has no ability to perform on the lease because they have no money. And it would be irresponsible for LCRDA, knowing that an entity has no money, to lease to the building. Further, IPTLH, according to our lease, will have to go out and get liability insurance, which we require for all tenants, and this board needs D&O insurance at a minimum for a what will be a significant, and that's a burden that may or may not be necessary. So again, as an advisor, if I was asked to serve on the board, I would say, whoa, time out. We're going to enter into this multi-year contract. We have no money. And we don't have a D&O insurance.
But devil's advocate, though.
Yeah.
If the lease is created and the lessee is unable to satisfy the provisions of the lease, they go into default. And the worst case scenario is the lease is terminated and it falls back to the lessor, correct?
Correct.
So right. How is that?
Probably a cure in the lease
right.
itself.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you...
They don't just get to hold on to it, right? And remember,
yeah.
right. as drafted, again, which is a draft, it's zero or dollar a year for 10 years. We're working on a side letter that says the RDA, recognizing that the IPTLH has no real predictable source of funding or revenues other than hopefully leases it out of the gate,
right.
ideally sponsorship, that RDA will also cover all the shortfalls for the 10-year period. And then there is a renewal for 10-year renewals at a hopefully more close to a market rate, and at which point the lab would be responsible for covering its own expenses. That was the concept, is that the 10-year runway would be provided by this entity.
Okay.
And then the lab would have to either be able to stand on its own and renew, one option, two, we can't, here you go, you get it back, or three, renegotiate the terms of the lease. Those are the three options. So it preserves all the options for the lab, and it funds the lab. Just so you guys are aware of this, Bill and I don't agree on this, and I think that's okay, and that's why we brought it to you guys to discuss this and just, you know, to kind of articulate that as this. Bill and I don't get to decide.
Okay. So keep going with the rest of your outline, and then let's jump in.
Okay, great. Accordingly, with liability insurance, D&O, assuming we execute a lease, that's required unless it's waived. LCRDA would, in fact, need to fund or loan IPTLH the funds just to execute a contract with ourselves. Additionally, we'll need a tight MOU that says, as a companion document to the lease, that LCRDA is going to pay for everything, and that would need to get approved by this board and the next board. And so when I went through this and saw that it was a lose-lose and is duplicative in many, many ways of one activity, I backed up and I'm like, wait a second, our logic model is flawed. And meaning that I rolled into it, that was the idea, and it's a model that works for other entities that don't own the asset. We own the asset. And so what is a tactic? Why is a strategy? So I think our strategy was flawed at the time, and that the logic model of needing a separate entity to operate is a flawed premise. Again, the essential difference is we own the asset. It's our most valuable asset, LCRDA.
Yes. I mean, I just want you to...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, LCRDA owns the asset. It's our most valuable asset. It's our most expensive asset to operate. It requires the greatest number of staff. The notion that we can't raise money, at grant money, is flawed as well, because we've generated over $13 million so far, and we're getting written into grants. And we're writing sponsorships through this moment to sponsor tech grants. So we are a tax-deductible agency. What we won't qualify for are the major grants that require an audited 990, which we wouldn't anyway because we got no money or no activity in the nonprofit. So it would be years before that nonprofit would serve as an asset to fundraise.
What's the threshold between a grant that requires a 990 versus something that doesn't? I mean, you said we're $13 million versus major grants that we're not going to be qualified to achieve.
Well, the $13 million is for one thing. The $13 million is for the building, basically.
Two things.
And then you got build to scale, but I think that for the NFI under the name of the lab.
No,
that's one of them's under the lab, isn't it?
No.
Okay.
That's LCRDA has all of the funding. The employees will be LCRDA employees for 3 years. So we contemplated an additional leasing of employees to the nonprofit, which will require, again, an extraordinary amount of admin and record keeping.
I would argue it will create some record keeping. I mean, you've got to account for the portion. It's going to be an allocation exercise. It's what we do every day, whether it's CAM. That literally is the process we go through. It's an extra pain in the ass. Sorry. So it's work, but that's what we do.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's exactly right. And it may or may not be necessary. So, it significantly increased costs. It will require a number of additional contracts beyond the lease to move forward. So in addition to sponsorships, employee leasing, time tracking, whatever their case may be. I think it's contemplated that all of these funds would be loaned from LCRDA to the nonprofit and paid back or not paid back over time. Again, requiring additional administrative work that may or may not be necessary. So in coaching startups, and we're clearly a startup, we talk about MVP, which is a minimal viable product or a minimal viable process. I would suggest that the logic model creates a maximum process for a minimal return. And the other is fail fast and pivot, or learn fast and pivot. And what I'm respectfully suggesting is that we should consider a pivot at this point, and eliminate the lease to ourselves of our most valuable and expensive asset. And the pivot would be changing IPTLH from an operating entity to purely a fundraising entity as either a nonprofit or a foundation, and that LCRDA operate the lab as it does the rest of its assets, especially because it is the most valuable and expensive asset. The same board of directors can be replaced by essentially a fundraising entity, not unlike other fundraising entities and or foundations.
GMH Foundation is a good example.
Right. Its sole purpose is to fund equipment, facilities, program, staffing. And so that can be accomplished a number of ways. What I'm respectfully suggesting is what we thought we needed to do, I don't think we need to do. And we are all, in fact, working on both now, Innovation Park and the lab. Our new employees will be LCRDA, Innovation Park employees. And so we will have, should we decide that we need the lease, it creates, in my estimation, an unnecessary administrative burden. And further, and again, Michael has, I appreciate his insight, and he's indulged me in this. So wake up in the middle of the night, like, wait a second.
And just so you guys know, this was Tuesday night, the night that he woke up and had this epiphany for me yesterday.
I'm going through the lease. I'm like, this is terrible for us. This is terrible for us here.
Okay, you've done a really good job. I don't know if you threw yet of the cons, but what are the pros of the lease?
I don't see any pros.
Okay, so look,
and just one more point, if I may. I also think that a 10-year lease, should LCRDA consider restructuring in some form or fashion, could burden its most valuable asset in the park in the transfer to P3 or a university structure, whatever the future might look like. And with that, I'm done. I won't over explain it if I haven't already. So my recommendation would be that we operate out of LCRDA, the new lab, and we utilize the nonprofit to execute what I believe its primary mission was when we set it up. Again, the difference is we own the asset. If we look at Domi or other models, they don't own the building. The county owns the building. And so a lease is required. In my estimation, a lease is not required because it's owned by us. And so we're creating a lot of, in my estimation, expense and exercise doing a lose-lose deal with ourselves.
Okay. This is I'm sure we all have several questions, and before we do that, so Michael, you said that you and Bill don't agree on this. Not necessarily with an outline format, but can you give a couple of responses?
Again, remember when I started, we had this nonprofit already created, and the premise was a couple of things. One, it would allow it to have an independent board, so to speak, and that's why we have the minutes you guys have approved from the last meeting where we were going to have only one of our board members be on there. So they're not subject to Sunshine. They've got this really independent, and we could attract actual research and development folks and entrepreneurs and people to help be board members, advisors, whatever made the most sense, and fundraisers, frankly. The other piece was so that we could do and sell signage and sponsorships, right? Like a booster organization. We could name it the David Ramsey North Florida Innovation Labs. That the premise to me had been provided, and I did not double check this, frankly, was that we couldn't do that under our current authority status. Now, we do grant raising right now, tech grants. Somebody sponsors it. It's for a very specific purpose. It funds the awards. So we have done some of that. Have we hung anybody's name on a building? No. Have we hung it on a room or an auditorium or a training room? We have not. And the other thing I think the benefit of the approach was that it gives the lab control of its own destiny instead of wrapping it up completely inside of the RDA. The lease, there's no multiplier effect on this lose-lose, in my opinion, but for if you have a foundation, if you have any entity, we're going to have to report. We're going to have to probably do an audit. All that reporting is going to be there. There is going to be some back and forth. Yes, it will be the same employees, although originally, as explained to me, the longer-term vision of the lab was that it would have its own set of employees, and we would move a lot of that payroll over to the lab when it's fully functioning. The 10-year runway was just to make sure we all recognize that the lab cannot support itself in the immediate term. I don't believe we I think my concern is that we've discussed this in different formats, is that long-term, I don't know the structure and the entity that may or may not control the RDA, right? And if the lab has a ground lease that runs 40 years or 50 years with those four 10-year, the lab as an entity can still, whatever happens, that entity can still control its own destiny to a much larger extent than I think if it's wrapped up inside of our entity. And it is the most valuable thing, and I think it's the most valuable thing to protect for that reason. And it's got, frankly, the longest runway of a life expectancy of as an entity. Yeah. I don't know if I've answered your question.
Yeah,
you got one going up and one going down. I mean, any way you look at it, I mean, our funds are going to shrink. We don't have a lot of land. Yeah.
That's right. And we're going to insure it on somebody's, whether it's RDA or not, it's going to get insured. DNO, I mean, we're going to need those things no matter where that's coming from, right? That's got to be funded.
So, Tom, go ahead, because you were going to ask a question about the benefits.
He kind of answered them, I think.
Okay.
I think.
And I don't want to come across as biased, because that was the agenda, frankly, that I started with the exercise, right? And I invested some time, and so I don't want this to be solely because I've got time invested in those objectives. If those objectives are no longer reasonable, then I'm the first one to say, well, I don't want to just throw good after bad, bad after good, or good after bad, rather. So I think it's worth considering, and that's why folks who've been involved with this organization, frankly, both of them longer, we thought it was appropriate for us to actually have this discussion with you guys, in front of you guys, to have this so you could chime in.
Yes, and I agree with Michael's point. If the idea is to protect the integrity of the lab and the lab's mission, he's absolutely right. The lease does that. And again, it's an interesting exercise, switching hats in the same conversation. And I would say, if at some point the LCRDA with its four appointments plus the three additional somehow loses a majority, then the LCRDA could potentially lose control of the lab because of its separate board structure.
But for the lease.
Yeah,
but for the lease, yeah. Yes, right.
So
now you could sell the lease. You could, I mean, there's a lot of things you could do to a lease, but
hard to sell it the first time.
Well, yeah.
without revenue,
a lot of juice in that lease. My chief concern is that the structure that we've been contemplating creates a board of seven board members who are arguably experts in the field.
Relatively
speaking.
That's our theory, yes, that we could get those folks.
Yeah, and that's primarily a fiduciary board, because we'll have other advisors as we contemplate as well. So it's a fixed number, seven people help run the organization, manage the money.
And
we'll have other advisors that are not a part of that will be supporting the mentorship, life safety, all of the functional pieces, but they don't need to be board members.
You call them an advisor board?
Yes, an advisory council, whatever the
council,
name.
Council, that's a better word, probably.
That's the word.
Helpers.
Yeah, that's right.
Helpers.
One of the frustrations that I've had with LCRDA, the authority model, and we've talked about this in the RDA meetings, we represent our community, and we are not necessarily steeped in expertise in research parks. We have a strong desire to see the RDA successful, but we are, under the authority model, we move at the pace of bi-monthly public meetings, which are sunshine, and that creates, for all the appropriate reasons, I understand the value of those, but it also slows our process down.
Terrible.
And we're slow, and we're not industry experts in research and research parks as a board. At least I'm not. We have an opportunity, it seems, to create an entity where we can build a leadership team, the board that has the expertise to help advance this. And I fear that if we don't have that, and by the way, Bill, I don't know what the answer is. This is brand spanking new information.
Oh, I know. I know. And I frustrated myself, and I shared this with Michael. I just rolled in assuming, okay, yeah, we're going to do this, and it was set up already, and then so, as he said, it was a couple of nights ago, I was up all night, and I'm like, does this make sense?
I think that without the expertise of research professionals leading the charge for a innovation lab, I think we have a greater potential for failure than we do for success.
Yeah, I would argue that we do have expertise in this area, and I am one of those experts.
So,
having seen
understand that
how others operate and where the asset is owned, there's not a differentiation between.
Let me park on this for a second.
Sure. Yeah.
The LCRDA board provides policy direction to the staff, and over 43 years. We have gotten much closer to being oversight of property management than we have to accomplishing the charter mission of research and economic development. There's a lot of research. There's a ton of research out here. This park knocks it out of the park on research. We have not achieved the economic development, which is the other half of the chartered mission. And so if what we need is a board that is able to provide, Bill, I understand that you are an industry expert, but if you're not getting policy direction from a board that can help lead, then I fear that we don't rise to the level of success that is necessary in order for the lab to be able to assist the RDA to achieve the stated mission. Economic development, and I don't know what the answer is, but what you've described concerns me.
I mean, tagging on to you, but a little different slant. That's a business. You can't run a business where the decision makers can't talk, and I mean you can't. And probably don't have the expertise to make decisions on a day-to-day basis there. Overall, I know you do, but I don't see how in our sunshine and our inability to discuss things. I mean, Michael's had businesses, all you guys run a business. You can't run a business when you can't talk to decision makers. I mean, it doesn't, every 2 months you're gonna make a decision.
And point of clarification on this, make sure that everybody's on the same page. The board of IPTLH, they will or they will not have the ability to communicate?
Will.
They will.
But yeah, assuming that there's only one member.
As designed.
As designed,
because
that's correct.
We're going to put one member of the RDA board.
And we appoint the other three. So keep in mind, it's also important to remember that the RDA board still will be responsible for four of the seven appointments to that board. It also a controlling feature that you guys had come up with.
Right.
And that, in essence, is the same logic that I was introducing when I suggested that one potential conversation that the RDA needs to research is what would happen in a P3 scenario. The idea of the P3 is we bring in a private sector developer who then we, through a competitive ITN, we put a scope together, we put all of this, the responsibilities of of performing against the scope on in their bailiwick, they can communicate minute by minute, as opposed to us who are bi-monthly. So it's the same concept as you're bringing in a team who can lead, who does have the industry expertise, they can move much quicker, they can give policy direction to a professional staff that understands innovation labs, all of which we're not. So, that's my concern. I still don't know what the answer is, but...
I think the objective was in some ways to unshackle the lab and protect it from all the things RDA that we have, all the handicaps and hurdles that we have to deal with. That was part of the concept too.
Well, okay, so if in the... Bill, I'm going to a particular point that you made about potentially the lease burdening the RDA's ability to potentially, if it were in a situation where it had to go through a restructure, can't we write into the lease some language that helps facilitate that if it's necessary?
Transferability?
Unless there was some kind of, you know, think about it, breaking leases happens under bankruptcies,
yeah,
right? If there's no bankruptcies, then somebody can't just go terminate. And that's usually for the benefit of the one who's paying, not the landlord. Doesn't get to typically renegotiate their leases, you know?
Yeah, I think we can put the appropriate language in the lease that allows us the greatest amount of flexibility and doesn't hamper us from moving in whatever is ultimately the correct direction for the RDA.
It was to put, again, I think the given and what I've learned in 75 days also was just to make sure that the lab was in the strongest position it could be in to be successful and to control its destiny for the 50 years we have left out here as currently available.
You kind of honed in on record keeping as a big burden, and it was several pieces of record keeping.
Well, and a necessity for new contracts. We need employee leasing. We need subcontract. Yes,
okay,
we need permission from the EDA, but we can subcontract it functionally.
Administrative burden is what. But I think we got that on both sides. Either way we do it, I think we still have to do it.
That's exactly right. And my thought was, why do we want to do this twice?
As experienced in this arena, about not being able for the decision makers to make decisions except every 2 months?
No. And the reason that I don't is because of Michael's ability to work with the Board of Governors to push decisions to a staff level rather than a policy level, and that has allowed us to move more quickly than we had prior to that. So I think those similar kinds of things can be done so that the staff is not burdened. And I think an observation was we were asking the board to get into the weeds on things that were probably unnecessary in some cases, which slowed us down as a machinery. It's and to your point, from an absolute perspective, it will slow us down. Yeah, but I don't think it's going to stop us. And in some ways, we're going to have to do these checkpoints anyway. The IPTLH has no money. If it wants to spend anything, it's going to LCRDA for the foreseeable future. Certainly, you know, between now and opening and shortly after opening, when we have to fund these initial expenses. I'm solution neutral. What I did is I'm like, okay, what was the thought process originally? Okay, I get that, but these circumstances aren't the same. We own the asset, it's our most important asset, it's our most expensive asset. And necessarily, LCRDA has to exert control to protect itself. And And I agree with you. We need more subject matter experts at a advisory level, at a IPTLH level, and I would respectfully suggest at a Board of Governors level.
So what if we were to put a slight pause in advancing the lease concept? We put together the IPTLH board with the seven members. And then we go back to the seven members of IPTLH and say, arguably, as industry experts, help us understand the most appropriate way to structure the relationship between the nonprofit and the physical asset. Would that board, would they prefer that the asset reside with the RDA, or would they prefer that the asset reside with them through a lease? And I don't know.
If you were on that board, any of you, would you want the lease that had the visibility, or wouldn't you? Just think from a business person as opposed to a research person. There's no downside to having
it.
You wouldn't want it?
I would.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's no downside to the lease. As a business person, why would I ever not want to have a lease that I can walk away from at a 10-year and zero for the first 10? I think it's almost derelict to not execute a lease that somebody else is paying for 10 years.
Yeah. The presumption is that the business person has an entrepreneurial bent.
That's right.
Wait. You mean I can sign a lease and have the ability to control an asset for 10 years and I'm backstopped the entire way, and what's required of me is to make that great? I'm in. But it's got to be the person with the entrepreneurial spirit.
But what scenario would you be against it? Even if I had none of it at 10 years, I'll just walk away if I'm that entity or that board, right? I mean, what have I lost? What have I forfeited?
The fair question. The scenario that I would be against it is the one where I wouldn't want to be in the board in the first place.
That's right.
You
wouldn't come to the meeting.
Yeah. So.
And I get that. We had this discussion yesterday. Oh, yeah. Switching team hats. Is LCRDA more at risk of losing control of the asset if the board composition,
the board we control?
The majority, but stuff happens, and if you can't count to four out of seven for some reason, and again, I'm arguing with myself.
Sure.
I'm trying to agree with you at the same time. I agree. Give me at least, for $1 a year and pay for everything.
Which is what we're saying we're gonna do.
That's the proposal.
Right.
So, and I've started thinking of, as if our reserves start dwindling, it will be harder and harder for leadership of LCRDA to make decisions without board approval.
And you said if. I don't think we're
well, if. I'm being generous there.
Thank you.
But the
I would argue
the
that
board will not and I'm assuming y'all are the leadership at that time. Y'all won't want to make decisions without running by the board if we've only got 6 cents
left. Yep, that's right.
The idea to me that way too.
Again, right or wrong, guy, and I'm certainly willing to be wrong on this, is that we should put the lab, for all the reasons Bill said, in the best circumstances to be successful, which will I will echo that later with a more substantial and financial at subsequent meetings as to what I mean by that. But I think the duty since we have created this lab and we have borrowed from the EDA and the OEV and FSU, is we need to do everything we can to put it in the best position to be successful long term.
So a conversation that Michael and I have had recently that echoes that is the lab is probably the truest reflection of the original mission of Innovation Park that we've been able to achieve to this point. And so everything that we do at this moment seems to me that it ought to be in order to position that lab for the greatest potential for success. That's like the only filter that I see right now. Will this, the next decision that we make needs to be the next right decision. And the next right decision needs to be about what does it do to the lab?
And if I go back several board meetings, and in fact, very first conversation we probably had was top priorities. Get the lab built,
get it
opened, and staffed. And well, then secondary,
that's A.
And then B was try to lease up the old space.
B was to be financially sound.
Okay. and then I would argue that in there, my version would also be to make sure whatever we're doing is promoting and protecting the mission, again, of the park, and as opposed to the RDAs itself. You know, the mission is the objective. And I think, as Kevin said, the park really is the embodiment of, I mean, the lab is the closest thing we will have done. Now, the lab has effectively been replicated by tenants and other folks in the park, including FSU and Dan Foss and the MAC. Those things have been done by others. They just haven't been done by us
Correct. On
these grounds.
Correct.
So it's not the ground that's the problem. That's because it's not the 208 acres isn't the problem.
Yep. So what's our, based on the time schedule that we had 90 minutes ago, before this meeting started, what was the urgency for and the anticipated schedule for the creating the lease?
It was initially a top priority. Now, again, we don't have to execute it. We haven't decided. I mean, again, all I've got is a draft that we sent out to you guys this week, and I apologize. That's been an evolutionary document. The side letter has not been drafted. That was the way originally we were going to have it zero, pay all the expenses inside the lease, and after conversations with Melissa, we decided a better way to do it was have a lease that had the renewals and zero rent, but then it had a side letter that said the RDA will fund all of those things just so the lease wasn't overly complex beyond the 10 years. But we haven't executed, obviously haven't executed that. That would have to be agreed to by both sides. So you guys have a draft. I put in a number for the annual rent at year 11 at $250,000. I don't know if that's the right number or not, but I just had to have a placeholder there. But I think that's worth having that conversation. But there's no time. The building's not going to be ready, obviously, for somewhere between 6 and 8, 9 months still. So that's when it really will matter. I don't know if it'll have an impact on us recruiting potential board members and advisors to that. We'll ultimately have to secure insurance and those kinds of things, either under us. I mean, people sell buildings they own and turn them into leases. I mean, those are all just mechanical exercises that happen all the time. And that's part of what we do.
We'll need additional mechanics in place. So are we raising money as LCRDA when we do these sponsorships like tech grants? Or, as anticipated, is it IPTLH in which our new board will have to go through the registration with the Department of Agriculture and will need sponsorship agreements, will need naming rights that LCRDA will ultimately have the authority over, either within its current policy or establishing a new policy that the Board of Governors can clearly do, either for one building or for other buildings so mechanically, there are still a few things to do.
Yeah.
Whatever hat we're wearing.
Right. The reason I pushed the lease out is just that's a conversation we needed to have so people can start thinking about it, as much for the elements of it, right? Do you guys agree with that's just Michael Kramer with the 10 years covered and the $250,000. Some of those things are just numbers.
Placeholders, yeah.
Yeah, that I just came up with and that I need somebody else to have some input in, you know, both of the counterparties, frankly. I was just trying to have it. Those are going to be the key elements of this lease. The rest of it's going to be, for the most part, standard lease at the end of the day. When you get to year 11, you got a ground lease at X dollars, and you got to pay the expenses even though in this circumstance someone else built the building for you, Mr. Tenant, which is also a little bit unique, is we will have built the building and we're willing to pay for it for 10. But at the end of that some period, you know, a tenant would be paying for their everything.
So just a thought, and this is a wonderful thought. What if we raise a whole lot of money in the entity, the new entity, with sponsorships mm-hmm. and, I mean, best case that could ever happen.
We've got to do that.
Well, right. I know, but what happens? Are we still on the hook for 10 years?
No, they have to spend their own money first, and then we have to cover the shortfalls. This is the way the side letter would be written. Yeah, so if they raise $10 million up front, then we may not be out anything ever, but the premise was that may not happen.
I just can't see any downside to a lease. Myself, I don't know. Maybe there's... I mean, I think the record keeping has to happen, and you just copy it to here.
There's going to be lots of allocations, I think, is where Bill's coming from.
It is complicated.
And you got to keep track of it. But we'd be keeping track of it anyway, just like we keep track of the grass bills for the different buildings. I mean, it's an allocation for CAM and all that stuff we have to figure out. So...
All right, so it seems to me that if there's not a critical path milestone for signing the lease.
Not today, for sure.
Then I think that we need to continue on the path that we are on with setting up the board, with the expanded board for IPTLH. Once we have board members established for that, then we engage in that conversation with that board regarding the most appropriate way to structure the lease or lack thereof of the asset. And we might, Bill, I appreciate you bringing it up. I still don't know what the right answer is, but I also don't know that we have enough information inside this room to come up with
the we were not looking for anybody to make those decisions unless somebody had some compelling experience with this that said, no, this is what you got to do one way or the other.
Okay, so I think that this does need to come up as an item in the April board meeting, right?
Okay.
What do you guys think about that? I mean, we're going to have to...
Well, again, agenda, if you look at the rest of our agenda, and that's why I wanted Bill to do this first, was that we were going to talk about the appointments. And because really we think that should be an agenda item mm-hmm. for the board meeting, is we need the names of folks that our board recommends for two things. One is who is going to be the board representative on this board, and then any ideas that our board has for folks so we can start reaching out to them to identify folks that may or may not have an appetite to serve on that board. And then somewhere between then and, I don't know if it's May or June, run those traps with those individuals to make sure we can form such a board.
Yes.
And then we've got to revisit this whole lease conversation, whether it's with them and with them. Remember, our board will be involved in the lease conversation because they're a counterparty to it as well.
Okay, so moving directly to that, there are the right now the entities that have financial commitment to the labs, the EDA, the RDA, OEV.
They all gave money to the RDA
yes.
to use to build a lab. They don't have direct connections to the lab.
No.
The collateral for FSU and the EDA is the lab.
Right.
That's their security.
Yes.
But they gave the money or loaned the money to the RDA.
The RDA. Yeah.
For the sole purpose of building and constructing a lab.
Yes. So where I'm going with this is making sure that we have... as we expand the board of the labs, that we're being mindful of where's the capital stack coming from?
Big question.
Are we ready to talk about? I'm ready to talk about. Are y'all ready to talk about prospective names that we would bring forward then to the board?
We're certainly ready.
Okay, yeah. Let's start with a board member. We need a board member that would advance to that board.
I'd nominate Tom Allen. And I'm serious about that, because you have real estate experience, you have management experience, you fulfill an awful lot of boxes. I will check with who that director should be.
My thing is, I don't have experience running all that. I mean, there's...
But you've got...
We're not going to find that on our board, are we?
No.
Remember, we're talking about our existing, one member from our existing board.
So, and I think what we need to do, what I'd like to do...
And we need to figure out who's interested.
Bring forward a few names from our board and have that discussion. We're going to have that discussion at the board. And quite honestly, I don't know who from our board may or may not be interested.
They have an appetite.
Yeah, and Michael and I have had sort of that conversation as well. And I drew the same conclusion that you did, because of your private sector experience. If you look around the board, there's not a lot of private sector experience. And this, yeah, I'm sorry.
But the name that I would bring forward would be Brian Batista, specifically because if you look around our board as who has the most statewide contacts and potentially some relationships with people who might want to understand this park and the visibility that can be created, I think that he would be a very interesting potential board member.
I don't
disagree.
People
would consider it too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
I got lunch with Mark.
This is bigger than Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to have lunch with Brian tomorrow. I could ask him if he has any appetite for it. I do not know if he would or wouldn't.
Whoever it is has got to be real committed.
Right. That's you need the time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And we also contemplated, well, this could be a potential collision because of someone's other responsibilities or be perceived. So anyway, I think we'll have those filters as well.
There's not a perfect answer.
No.
Are there any other names that we would want to bring forward from the board?
But I think you're right. We do ask at the board meeting if anybody has an interest. And then that process probably is going to be up to sit down with Bill and I subsequent to that meeting to talk to each of those guys individually for a few minutes just to kind of lay out what we see as the job and role.
And Thomas.
And Tom, if you don't want your name to be brought forward, if you don't want to be considered, we can make that decision right now. I just want to be respectful of whatever your visceral response is.
If I take that on, I don't think I can be the next chair here. Because I think, I only have so much time, and I think that's going to be a real engaged, active...
It's supposed to be, right.
Do you have a preference for which position you think you would best like to fill?
And that could be a rhetorical comment.
Will of the board on that, I don't really...
Yeah.
I mean, you're chair one more time, right?
We set it up so that it's possible.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be.
That was just we needed to check a box per what the bylaws say.
Basically, we voted, I think, to allow him to serve again. Okay. Not
there
that he is serving again.
For a three-term chair, and that was Kristen Dozier, I believe. Yeah.
I will say the primary function of this board is raising money. We don't need operational help from this board.
This one right here today.
IPTLH. Yeah. It is all about raising money.
Yeah.
Because...
has a lot better chance of that than me, of big money.
And so we need fiduciary, we need subject matter expertise, and we need to raise money through this board.
And okay, so I'm going to push back on that a little bit. Raising money is a big deal. It's a huge deal.
It is.
But the purpose of a board is to provide policy direction to the staff.
We need
without that. We could have a lot of money and no direction. So we have to make sure that this board is well positioned to provide the appropriate policy direction for the lattice.
Agreed.
That's right. And our policy in some ways is predetermined contractually by what must be done for the EDA. So some of that is already cast in stone, and we'll need help supporting what we've already agreed to do. So don't disagree. And it is, and we'll have a discussion about money. I don't want to catastrophize, but we won't be able to execute our mission without raising a ton of money really soon.
Okay.
Really soon.
Okay.
All right, so.
So we'll bring up at the board meeting.
And I would about who might want to serve. Have a conversation with Brian Moore.
Okay. Anyway, that really, I think, is Bill's. The appointments of the board, we kind of covered that discussion too, was the idea and the concept. Yeah. But we want to start thinking about that. And then what I also would ask this, you guys and our board at our next meeting, is to identify not only the candidate or so or two from our board that's interested, but the broader community or statewide or nationwide, frankly. It doesn't have to be somebody from Florida. Let's be honest. This could be somebody who's willing to participate in something like this.
Could be that's an executive at Pfizer.
Somebody, again, to the extent we could get a relationship with somebody.
The one person that I feel like, or I believe, needs to be part of this is the Vice President of Research at FSU, for the sheer fact of the amount of research that occurs here.
I think she's conflicted.
You think she's which?
Conflicted.
How's that?
Because we have a direct fiduciary relationship with them, and there will be things that we could go back and ask for money from them, and that would be my intent. If you look at other research parks where there's a consortium, we need to ask for the money from them, from FAMU, and so that's my concern. No doubt she's an incredible asset, and she has a role, but I don't know that sitting directly on this board is the highest and best use for her as a resource to the authority or to the board.
All right, so we need we probably need Melissa to help us understand if she would be conflicted.
I mean, how's that different than you?
Well, that's
well, how about we got money for the lab from FSU
that's
Foundation.
We got money from the lab from, did we get it from the foundation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
So, is she complacent? Is she having an issue? Is she on the foundation board?
She is probably, I would assume that she is and potentially is the president of the FSU Research Foundation Board.
I think she's amazing, and I had an opportunity. I would love any opportunity to work with her in any form or fashion. I just wanted to say that. What I don't want to do is create a mechanic that slows us down in any way.
One asset we have on the board, let's not forget, not recommending or not nominating, but Ray Bye used to work for the university, going all over the nation raising foundation money. He had a lot of names and a lot of stuff in his Rolodex. I don't know whether he's still active. I don't even know whether he'd be interested in it. But he certainly, at one point in his career, raised a hell of a lot of money for the university.
Okay.
Any comment about that? You all know him as well as I do.
I mean, not unlike me and you. He's getting...
Yeah, well, I understand.
And the rest of us.
And it's
all over the old context.
Yeah, and I think he's great. I love him. I just don't know how. I know how quickly those contacts erode.
Yeah.
So I guess the question on that is, would that be a second or third name that we bring forward for the RDA's board? Member participation on the IPTLH? Is that what you're suggesting? Because it can't be, it's
not
two.
Cannot be two.
Right.
Cannot be two. I would say a third position, but I'm not sure that he'd even accept the position. My first thought is he probably would not.
That'd be my guess.
He might be more valuable on this board, helping find resources for money.
I mean, I think Brian is the first bet.
I do too.
If he's willing. I mean, if he's willing.
It's always tough for the guy that's not in the room, right?
Well, that's right.
Well, you know, when you think about it,
there's a vote.
He's got contacts all over the state for sure, and probably the region, and we might need more than that.
And some, a lot of private company contacts. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That could be helpful.
Yeah.
And he's got legislative contacts.
That's right.
I mean, he's,
and he's building that Rolodex today still, frankly.
And frankly, aside from Michael being a lot smarter than I am, we have the same skill set.
Right.
I mean, the same background, the same. I'm a lot better looking, but.
Well, that's, I can't be. It's a give and take.
You all both did some research or visited the other big lab here down the road.
Sid Martin.
Who do they have as some of their board members from some of these big regional, like Pfizer? Do they have representatives on their board from some of those organizations?
They're an entirely different structure. And again, it's an owned asset.
By the university.
So they would operate under Stacy Patterson's umbrella, both facilities.
Yeah, remember, commercial in their building is the commercialization department for the school that is literally working with the different companies trying to find ways they can use what they've already commercialized or to take advantage of it, and also putting people together.
And the university probably provides $1 million a year.
At least $1 million a year.
Well, then, as your treasurer, and as a concern that I have, and I wrestle some at night with it, is where are we going to get the funds to run this thing? Right now, we don't have the funds to equip it with furniture and fixtures. And are we just a few steps away from the Civic Center? Bottle essentially said, we just don't have the ability to pull the funds in to run this thing. Let's give it to FSU.
So, respectfully, that's a conversation that keeps me up at night. However, that's an RDA conversation, and I don't want to necessarily unpack that here with in this meeting, because I'm tracking 100% with you. It's not the IPTLH conversation.
Agreed. Yep.
Are you okay with that?
I do agree with that. The three of us are on that board. But
it's not.
I agree.
We will be spending some time on this next week.
I'm not asking us to.
Exec committee is next week, and so we're going to add Kim to the conversation, and we're going to be covering this.
Yes,
I'm not asking us to debate that. I'm floating for your thoughts as we move forward.
It will be the primary point of the conversation as we go into exec and then to the board meeting in April.
Agenda item one, or the way item 11 when we get started.
I will say,
if there's somebody on the board that hasn't thought about that, they haven't.
Well,
they shouldn't be on our board.
I agree with you. All right.
I will say what is urgency is to figure out which organization's raising the money. Mm-hmm. And putting those things in place, putting the naming rights in place. We've toured other, we've gotten price points of sponsorships, some of which I think we owe to the same entity. You do this in this place, you want to do it the same deal here, I think we would get approval from some of these things. We have a placeholder for what we would charge to put the name on a building. The Board of Governors will have to approve all of that.
Let me ask you a question on that front. Do we know what products at FSU have been generated out of FSU? I know everybody knows Taxol, but are there other big products that, I mean, do we have access to those owners, whoever they are?
We can research that. Yeah, that's all public information, all of the licensure and the fees paid. All of that.
Brent would know all that information probably.
Well, and it's also, they've got a listing of their IP on their website. So,
only care about the ones that have generated.
That's right.
About their IP.
But you got a couple things going for you. If it came out of FSU, and
that's right.
Might want to give back to FSU.
That's right. Yes, there are some big names that come to mind.
Okay.
Good. One runs a major hospital group.
Anything of those few topics?
Anything else that we need to do? I don't know that necessarily requires an action of this board, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so we have 8, 9, 10, 11 to go. I'd like to try and move as efficiently through this as possible.
I think we, didn't we do 9?
Yeah, we can table 9 for the moment because you guys, I sent you drafts, the membership, they're going to be the same, and we've actually, they're almost identical for what we're doing in the Idea Lab and over there, other than we've got different security deposits and different thing requirements for the lab ultimately. Again, early, trying to make those things look as similar as possible with maybe different attachments on the back is all. So yeah, we don't need to go through that. Our objective will be to get a guarantee for people going there. I don't know if they'll do it or not, but we're going to ask for it, and then we'll deal with if somebody balks at it.
I mean, we don't really... That's a little, yeah, that's typically what happens is they go away, they don't have any money, it's not worth chasing.
They're not going to chase it, but we'll make them sign it.
The mechanic is in place.
And then we also have non-disclosure.